Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Ryan Berlin. This is another episode of the Max Living Podcast. I'm here with my wife, Ashley, and today we're talking about upcoming. We have the holiday of Thanksgiving, and we're just excited. Everyone's got this thankful, you know, cheerful thing going on, but we're talking about why is it that one time a year we really focus on this idea of being thankful or the idea of gratitude, and what would it look like if we made that into a habit?
Yes, it's such a beautiful concept. Listen, the act of expressing gratitude it's really an amazing thing. And as soon as those words come out of my mouth, it throws me right back. And I think you know where I'm going to say, it throws me right back to this sermon we heard a long time ago, right? About the lepers being healed. The lepers, and they were healed. And one turned around and said, thank you, right? Yeah. Yeah. And were the nine others not thankful? Were they ungrateful? Were they not happy that they were healed?
That's how they're perceived sometimes.
Right. They're perceived as ungrateful because they didn't express it. And so I know that we're jumping right off the bat into the concept of expressing gratitude, but expressing your gratitude is important because when you don't express gratitude, you are perceived as ungrateful.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of times for people, what their perception of you is their reality of you. And whether you're, you know, they don't know what's going on inside of your head and they don't know what you're feeling or thinking or all of those pieces. And so there's a big piece of it that's like, when you think of something that you're grateful for, say it.
Yeah. So all the husbands can take a note right now. Like you come home and your wife makes, you know, dinner on a daily basis. And, you know, you probably ended up in this situation where it's like, because you don't say, oh, wow, this is a really good meal, or hey, thank you, or whatever. It's like, you are never grateful. You don't appreciate this, whatever. And it's like, no, I'm like, I enjoy eating every night and I enjoy eating at home every night. But if it's not expressed, then it's perceived, like you're saying, as being ungrateful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the expression of gratitude, it's such a big thing. But I listen, that's a very, like, there's one, that's one layer to this onion of gratitude. And there's so many, the cool thing about gratitude is that there are so many layers to it. There's depth to this topic on a scientific level that is absolutely mind blowing. And I can say firmly right now that the practice of gratitude fundamentally changed my life in 2017. Right. I can tell you exactly. I mean, it was New Year's Day of 2017 when you and I and another couple of ours that we're very good friends with, we CrossFitted with for a long time, my tennis partner, her husband's your good friend. We all on New Year's Day of 2017 said, hey, we're going to start this 5-minute journal together.
Yeah.
And we ordered the 5-minute journal and we said, we want to start practicing gratitude. Like, what does a practice of gratitude look like? And that is one of the things, like, when I look back on my life, like there's beautiful moments of when I had got married and met you and had kids. And like, those are all pivotal moments in my life. But this moment was a pivotal moment because it was a choice and it was diving in to a practice that I was unaccustomed to and hadn't participated in before. And once I started participating in it, it really changed my life.
Yeah. I think that's where our story started with the actual practice of gratitude, or the idea that we would do this intentionally and do it even systematically. And I think that's kind of a, maybe, you know, it's kind of like prayer. Like, some people feel like praying morning, you know, or breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or before bed, or whatever. Like, it gets so systematic that it's like, can you get caught in this? You know, like, is it still as meaningful if it's not, you know, just kind of off the cuff and off your heart, right? And so I think that there's this idea with gratitude is like, if you're practicing gratitude and create a system around it, is it still meaningful? Is it still actually gratitude, or is it forced? And I will tell you firsthand that practicing gratitude and creating a system out of practicing gratitude actually causes you to grow that grateful side of your heart even bigger. And I think that practicing gratitude really has a large influence over, you know, just you walking around in life and it really changing who you are.
You know, what's interesting. Okay. So let's talk about this. There's behaviors in life. There's plenty of people who know exactly what to do. Like we have patients who come in, and I would argue that they're darn near experts in nutrition.
Well, it's going back to your old apple versus, you know, Twinkie, or apple versus Girl Scout cookies. But how many people sit down and eat a whole box of Girl Scout cookies?
Right.
You know, knowing that's not the right choice.
Right. There's this thing that, like, you know something, but then there's a series of behaviors that you need to implement, but you're not implementing the behavior. There's an interesting statistic in the world, right? That 44% of doctors are overweight. That's a really interesting statistic, because these are very smart people, and I would argue that they've spent time studying exercise and diet, and they understand health, and they're a doctor. They have a fundamental, really deep understanding of health, but they're overweight. So what are they doing? Like they know the merits of it, but they're not executing it, right? And so it's the same thing. Like you could argue that you can read a book on how to be a professional wrestler, but you are not, like, you're not in the heavyweight championship belt match, right? Like you're not doing it. You're not executing it. And so the point here is that there's a limit to willpower. The self-control and self-regulation has a limited resource, and it's like a muscle that you tire with use. And people that are chronically stressed, like people that are just working these 14-hour days, they're chronically stressed. They're in these like pressure cooker situations. Those are the people. And you could argue that with a doctor's schedule and rotations and shifts. And, you know, like you could argue that they begin to, they find it difficult to resist temptation. They start, you know, like, it's like we go from black coffee to the latte, to the Frappuccino, to the sugar coffee drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like at some point in time, you just stop saying no to it, and you give in and you indulge.
So when it comes back to gratitude, what we're saying is it becomes easy to not practice gratitude.
1,000%. That you can know that being thankful is the right thing to do, and practicing gratitude is the wrong thing to do. But because you're not exercising, because that self-control, that self-regulation muscle is just burnt out and completely stressed out by the end of the day, you're like, I can't engage in this. Like, I don't have anything left. Let me just turn on the TV.
That's good. So let's talk about, like, what is it? What does it mean? What is gratitude? And then what is it? What effect does that have on our physiology? Like, physiologically, how does that affect us? And then what are the benefits of practicing gratitude, right? I think those are the things that really, you know, I think most people know what gratitude is, but if I said, hey, define gratitude, then you're like here's one dictionary, you know, definition: the willingness to recognize the unearned increments of value on one's experience. When you read that, you know, the idea is that might sound good in a term paper or something, but the reality is that doesn't really describe it for you.
It doesn't sound sexy, does it?
No. We love the 5-minute journal. Right in the 5-minute journal, they said, gratitude is not easy to explain. We're not going to attempt it with $10 words. So their explanation was this. I love these. Gratitude is the experience of counting one's blessings.
That's good.
It's the feeling that embodies the word thank you.
Yep.
It is the unexpected reward of a kind deed that is magically produced in your brain. So they're getting into this physiology part, that our brain actually has something to do with this gratitude thing. It's the cute, tingly feeling that your body has that makes you smile at strangers.
Oh, that's good.
So like these are like, how do we do that though? How do we get in the practice of this? So after cutting through all the smoke of like the law of attraction type gratitude, you know, the name it and claim it, the just, you know, think positive and stuff will come to you.
Right.
Like, the reality is that there is science behind how we attract things. And it's not just this like invisible magnetic force where you know, what you think about, you'll bring about.
Right.
But
right.
This gratitude thing actually physiologically changes your biology. And because it changes your biology, it changes who you are and what you express as a person towards other people. And then because that, it changes how people relate to you. Right? It's this whole thing. So like there was this 2003 study, Emmons and McCullough, they found that keeping a daily gratitude journal not just increased the sense of well-being, but also better sleep, willingness to accept change, and also helped lower the symptoms of physical pain. Now, how is that? Because when you get into the world of brain science, there's studies that show that gratitude on fMRI, which is functional magnetic resonance imaging. There's a 2008 study that showed when people were practicing gratitude, they found that they were influencing their hypothalamus in real time. And your hypothalamus is the area that deals with like sleep and eating and stress. And so that was having this positive effect on their hypothalamus, and it stimulated the part of the brain that was associated with the neurotransmitter dopamine. And dopamine's the neurotransmitter that's like the do it again chemical. Like, yeah, that was good. Yeah. Do it again. When your phone vibrates, you got to check it real quick. You get a dopamine hit. Your body knows that on the other side of that, there's something that you're going to enjoy. And so that chemical is being produced to tell you to keep it up and keep doing it. So gratitude, when we experience gratitude and we practice gratitude around things, we're telling our body, I want more of that.
Right.
That's powerful.
That's so powerful. It's amazing. And listen, I have a few different, it's amazing. First of all, that you said that you could watch that happen in real time on fMRI. Like, that's incredible seeing that. There's three different studies that I brought to us today, to kind of, you know, just to reinforce this idea of the science behind gratitude, that in 2011, Applied Psychology, Health and Wellbeing, they did a study where they found that spending 15 minutes jotting down grateful sentiments before bed made you sleep better, deeper, and longer.
That's so good.
I mean, incredible, right? You want better sleep? All you had to do was right before bed, jot down some grateful statements. And they spent 15 minutes. I would argue that you could probably even spend less time than that. And just jotting down those thoughts of gratitude helped you get a better night's sleep. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War vets with higher level of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder, right? So the Vietnam vets who had PTSD, the ones that showed gratitude, that had they were expressing those feelings of gratitude. They had those grateful practices going. They had lower PTSD symptoms after that war, right? There was a 2003 study published by the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was the single major contributor to resilience following the 9/11 terror attacks.
That's amazing.
So people that were expressing more gratitude after that happened. And I mean, listen, I lived through that. We remember, we're in that generation that remembers exactly where they were when 9/11 happened, right? Who the heck was expressing gratitude after that? It was horrible. But those people who were able to practice that and do that in times when it didn't even make sense and it didn't seem like the thing that was like the normal thing that everybody was doing, those people experienced higher levels of resilience than anyone else. And
that's
amazing. Amazing.
You know, your brain's actually hardwired for this. There's a part of your brain called the RAS, the reticular activating system. And if you get into the RAS, like the easiest way you can describe the RAS is like when you buy a car, like you buy a color of a car and you never see, say, like a yellow car. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to get this crazy yellow car. Nobody has a yellow car.
Yes.
You buy a yellow car and it seems like everybody's got a yellow car. You know what I mean?
You start seeing
yellow cars everywhere. This happens a lot of times when people name their kids. Like, we named Hudson.
Yes.
Son's name's Hudson. And we had never really heard the name Hudson. And now, like, we hear Hudson all the time.
You might think,
oh, it's not that common. Well, we hear it all the time. And that's because of our reticular activating system. There's this part of our brain that when we recognize something and we create a memory around it and we activate this part of our reticular activating system, our brain goes to work looking for like.
Yes.
And so, you ever notice that, like, when people wake up and their first, you know, steps in the day are like, oh, today is going to be a terrible day. Well, they're going to find more of that stuff, more
Absolutely.
Of the terrible. And so they kind of become the Eeyore, so to speak, of like, oh, today is so terrible. Woe is me.
Exactly.
You know, we work really hard with our second born, you know, like he's one of those that he either wakes up and you're like, today's going to be a great day. Or he wakes up and you're like, oh, today could be a really bad day. Because his reticular activating system apparently is firing on all eight cylinders.
It's strong.
But I bring that up to say this, with gratitude, one of the best practices one of the best things about practicing gratitude is the more you use it, the more you recognize it. Like, the more you practice gratitude, the more you see the things showing up in your life that you're grateful for. And then what it does is it creates this loop of you actually become more grateful because you're seeing things that you're already expressing gratitude about. And then they happen more because you recognize, and they may not actually be happening more, but you recognize them more. So this is where, like, Anne Voskamp, you remember Anne Voskamp, the author, she wrote that book called,
A Thousand Gifts,
or whatever it was. And the idea was, keeping a gratitude journal and writing down, you know, thousands of things that you are grateful for. And what people found when they practiced this is that initially it was actually challenging. That, think about that, like, wife, kids, job, food, roof over your head. You know, pretty soon you start running out of things, like the obvious ones.
Right,
so now you start, like, she would talk about like walking outside in the hues of a sunset.
Right.
Right. And like God painted that for me.
Right.
And like recognizing that, that it wasn't just for her, but for us, like God created this experience for us. And then, you know, just little things. Like I remember my mom got her hearing aids. Yeah. And she didn't realize how much hearing she had lost.
Right.
And then when she got her hearing aids, one of the first times she ever played golf, she fell in love with the game. I'm like getting choked up talking about this. She fell in love with the game all over again because she said it was like the rustling of the leaves and hearing the birds and like the wind blowing and all the things that she didn't realize she was missing out on a golf course just became so awesome. And like just the idea of that when you start practicing and recognizing those, that they become more and more evident to you. And like that was, all right, so to bring it back to Ann Voskamp's book, she was talking about that when people first started writing down things they're grateful for, it actually became challenging. It would take them several minutes to think of something. But then the more they practiced it, they were walking through their day and they were like, I'm grateful for that. And thank you for that. And thank you for that. And they could just, things would roll off their tongue. So just the idea of practicing gratitude, that the longer you do it, the easier it gets.
Right. Right. No, that's so good. I mean, it's such a beautiful, like, I'm
glad the camera's on you right there during that whole thing, because my eyes were just tearing up and watering.
Tearing up. Yeah. It's such a beautiful, like, it's such a beautiful thing, you know, and I liken it. It's sort of akin to if you've ever done like a Whole 30, or if you've ever done something where you've, you know, maybe eaten advance plan. If you're in a Max Living office, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have core plan and advance plan. If you've eaten advance plan for an extended period of time, and then you go back and you have like your first bite of like a peach or like something, and you're like, these flavors, like when you've cut out processed food for a significant amount of time, all of a sudden flavors and the power of just real live food becomes so magnificent that it's almost like you woke up and time traveled, and you're like, now you tasted this whole thing. You're like a foreigner and you tasted it the first time and you're like, this is unbelievable. And people are like, you got peaches every day in the grocery store. What are you talking about? This is amazing. It's like the simplicity and the power of those moments to stop and to slow down and to be present. And because there's so many places we can be all of the time.
It's funny that you say be present. There's a Robert Holden quote where he says the real gift of gratitude is that the more grateful you are, the more present you become.
Right.
Like, because you're in that state of present time and being grateful for like what's directly in front of you.
It's so good.
I love Brian Tracy talked about, this is another quote. I love Brian Tracy. He's one of my favorite speakers. Just listening to Brian Tracy changed my life. And I think part of what changed my life about listening to Brian Tracy is that he is the embodiment of gratitude. Like when you hear him speak, he just has that like his voice just sounds like what gratitude would sound like. Like he just got that very welcoming, it puts you at ease. But he said, develop an attitude of gratitude. Say thank you for everyone you meet and for everything they do for you. Now, if you know Brian Tracy, he means good and the bad, because he doesn't think there is any bad per se. That it's that idea that sometimes, as Matthew McConaughey talked about, like your red lights are your green lights. Like sometimes those, you know, the things that you would think are happening to you are actually happening for you. But it's just perspective, and sometimes it takes time. So if you recognize those, or if you learn to say thank you for those things, even before you recognize that the outcome is going to be favorable for you,
right,
or maybe protected you from something, and you just are in that place of gratitude, then I think it becomes easier to recognize that later on. Like, oh, that was actually happening for me.
Right. And it's an interesting thing in the practice of gratitude. So let's say that you're getting into it and you're like, okay, so what are the, you know, in the 5-minute journal, we're writing down three things every morning. First thing we do, eyes open up. You're not grabbing your cell phone. You're not getting on social media. You're not, you know, if you want to grab a Bible and read first, amen, awesome. Or you write down your gratitude journal first, either way. One or the other.
Yep.
Pick step one, step two. They can be interchangeable. But when you're writing, and in our 5-minute journal, we have, you know, three things that you're grateful for. Now, these things, so what is it that you're writing down? And you know, you kind of touched on this briefly, that sometimes it starts with, you know, my bed, my warm house, and my pajamas, like, you know, whatever those three things are. And then as you keep going, you start really like diving in to all the beautifulness of the world, and you're recognizing more and you're seeing more. Sometimes some of the things that you can write down are more predictive in nature, right? That you're already, and listen, if you've developed a habit of prayer, maybe you've heard this piece too, where you're thanking God, or you're thanking, you're just being grateful in general, yeah, for the things that you know are to come, like, yeah, the blessings that are to come in your life. And so, you know, if you're not married, maybe you're grateful for like that partner in life that you know is coming, yeah, and you're already expressing gratitude for that. Maybe there's, you know, like there's lots of things. And listen, when I'm writing, I'm not grateful for things that are outside of my control. Like, I'm not writing down, I'm grateful that it was a sunny day today, yeah, right? Like, I don't have control of that. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and I, although I love it and I'm very happy that, yeah, the sun is shining on some days and I'm not so happy when it rains, I also know that there's benefit to the rain. And so, but I don't have control over any of it. Yeah. The things that I have control over are the things that I'm making in my practice of daily gratitude, because they're things that I can, that at the end of the day,
yeah,
I can also tie the loop on, and I can say, hey, what would I have done better today? And also, what am I grateful, yeah, for at the end of the day?
Well, I think that practice with the 5-minute journal, there's the two parts of it. The one is like, what are you grateful for? Like, what happened that made today great?
Right.
Sometimes that is like, it was a sunny day, it was beautiful, we played outside, whatever. But there's the section in the morning that you write that's like, what would make today great? You don't have control over whether it's going to be sunny or not.
Right.
So I think that's the part where it's like, what would make today great? What can I do? Like, what? So I remember when we started practicing the 5-minute journal, one of the things was like, you know, like I remember thinking, what would make today great would be like making my wife feel loved and appreciated. Like, I knew that, happy wife, happy life. So if I could make my wife feel more loved today, but that wasn't really an action step. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an action step. So then an action step became like, call my wife, call her and text her one time each today, you know, and tell her something that you appreciate about her, or say something loving towards her, or whatever. And then that became an action step, and that's going to yield better results. Cause like, to, hey, try to make your wife feel loved today. Like, there wasn't an action tied to it. Right.
Right,
but once there was
right.
an action tied to it. So I love the 5-minute journal for when it says the whole idea of, what would make today great? Those are things that you have, you know, control over.
Absolutely. What
my other favorite thing about the 5-minute journal is BJ Palmer talks a lot about this, of that you should always have a request for your brain before you go to bed.
Yes.
Like, BJ Palmer went to bed trying to solve problems, and then he woke up. He literally kept BJ Palmer was the founder of chiropractic, and he wrote like 30 volumes on chiropractic, long books, like deep, heavy stuff and science stuff and all this. But he wrote a lot of these books. He would wake up in the middle of the night with what he called thought flashes. And he would have a pencil and a piece of paper by his bed, and he would write down whatever he was thinking about, because he said that's when his innate intelligence, or, you know, call it the spirit or whatever you want to call it, that's when his was contacting him, was while he was sleeping. I recently took a sabbatical from alcohol and have been also getting to bed really early since daylight savings time, like,
yes,
like 9 o'clock, 9:30, which is early for me.
Right.
And I've been waking up with like dreams and like thoughts, and waking up thinking about things about the office. And it's just really interesting. I pull out my phone and start writing down some notes on my phone, so I don't forget them in the morning. But Thomas Edison said this too. And we could all argue that Thomas Edison, as an inventor and somebody, like, he wrote, Thomas Edison was always trying to write a book. So okay. he literally always was had a book that he was working on writing. And one of his quotes was, never go to sleep without a request from your subconscious. So another thing I love about the 5-minute journal is, when you practice this morning and then practice at night, you're actually giving your brain something to be focused on in a positive way. And so many people, think about how many people watch TV before bed.
Yes.
How many people sit there and stress themselves out, you know, reading work emails before bed. You know, the one study found that people just watching their favorite movie actually raised their endorphin levels, which is the chemical in your brain that promotes happiness, by 27%. So I see why some people might watch some things, you know, but the same thing can happen if you think about gratitude in your day and recall memories from the day that were good, or, you know, go back. And one of my favorite things to do at night before I wrote my gratitude journal was go back and read past journal entries.
Yes.
And I would go back and read this record of days and months and weeks and even years that I've been writing down gratitude and these practices and going back and reading some of those. And some of them felt kind of silly reading them, and some of them were really profound.
Right, right. It's amazing. So listen, here's how we wrap it up. Plain and simply, Sean Archer, who wrote the book, The Happiness Advantage, he says that people who practice gratitude every day are happier and more optimistic.
Yeah.
You want to be happier? You want to be more optimistic? You don't want to be an Eeyore? Practice gratitude.
Attitude
of
gratitude.
It's very simple. Very simple.
And the attitude doesn't just happen haphazardly. And I think that was the whole point of today's show, is to say, let's get intentional about this. Our favorite tool is the 5-minute journal. You can go on, I think it's Intelligent Change who produces it. Mm-hmm. You can buy the 5-minute journal. Max Living, we have a great article in the comments below on gratitude. There's a PDF version of the 5-minute journal. I'm actually looking at it right now. You can print off the first chapter or whatever and read up on how it works. Right. And then there's an app. There's actually an app. I don't like the app personally, because I think we don't need another reason to have our phone by our bedside or our phone in our hand.
Right.
I think that pen on paper, plus I think there's something cool about pen on paper and you finish a journal, like when you finish a complete gratitude journal and you finish it and you can put it on the shelf. And now, you know, you or your kids or your grandkids one day can pull that off the shelf and read about the things that you were thinking about in your life. You can start another volume. And, you know, just like we have journals from seminars and notes, and we pull out old notes, you can pull out old gratitude journals and see how God has blessed you over your life. And some of the things that you thought would make life great and what actually made life great. And it really puts things into perspective. So
absolutely.
This is something that we have really enjoyed practicing, and we just hope that you guys enjoy it as much as we have enjoyed it. And we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're grateful for you.
We're grateful for you,
our listeners.
Right.
And until next time, this is the Max Living Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.